I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We'll be looking at the first 21 verses there in Acts chapter 2 as we look at Pentecost and the Spirit being poured out. Now, as we get ready to turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, it's our prayer that You will give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You call us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking to us. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocked and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, 'Let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, 10 days ago, we celebrated Ascension Day. And now, today, we celebrate Pentecost. When it comes to the major events of Christ's life, we tend to make a big deal of Christ being born. We have Christmas, we have celebrations, we have presents. When it comes to Christ's death, Good Friday, and His resurrection on Easter, we have get-togethers, meals. The events of Christ's life are celebrated. But when it comes to Christ's ascension into heaven, often it's just another Thursday. Or when it comes to Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there's no presents or celebrations or even meals, Pentecost meals. And here with these two events, we have not only Christ accomplishing his work, the well done, good and faithful servant as he ascends into heaven, but we also have him keeping his promise to apply all that he accomplished in sending the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus told his disciples before he left. He told them he had to go. Why? So that he could send the Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper. John 16, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is telling his disciples, they don't want him to leave, but he's saying it's good that I do leave. Because then I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Counselor, the Comforter, the Helper. And that's one of the blessings of Christ's ascension for us. 10 days ago, Christ's ascension, what it means for us is that we now, Pentecost, have received the Spirit's power. And that's how Christ's ascension dovetails or overlaps, complements Pentecost. He ascends, completing his work of salvation, and sends the Holy Spirit to apply the blessings and benefits of salvation to his people. That's what we're celebrating this morning, aren't we? That's what we saw this morning in the water of baptism, the washing away of all our sins. That's what we hear this morning as the gospel is being proclaimed, and that's what we'll share this morning as we touch and taste the body and the blood of our Lord for the complete forgiveness of our sins. What we have in our passage this morning, Acts chapter 2, is an explanation of the Spirit's coming. And it's important for us to realize that Luke here, he does a wonderful job of describing the events of what took place, but it's more than that. It's more than just Luke telling us the facts of what took place when the Spirit came at Pentecost. We do have the facts. He tells us what took place, the sound of the wind, the flames of fire on top of people's heads, the speaking in tongues and different languages. But what does the Spirit coming at Pentecost mean for us? And that's the heart of this passage. What is the significance of Pentecost for you this morning? Since the Holy Spirit has come, we not only hear the good news, see the good news in the sacraments, we share the good news as well. The Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost has been given to me personally. That's our first point as we think about what does Pentecost mean for me? What does it mean for you? He's been given to you personally. Secondly, for those of you taking notes, makes you share in Christ, makes me share in Christ. And third, remains with me forever. And so first, given to me personally. As I mentioned just a moment ago, at Pentecost, we have the fulfillment of what Jesus told his disciples, that it's better for me to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit. And here we have the fulfillment of that. 10 days after the ascension comes Pentecost. Verse 2, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And now what we need to keep in mind as we think about this mighty rushing wind is that in Hebrew and in Greek, so two different languages, the word for wind, ruach or pneuma, is the same word used for spirit. So in both of these languages, you have the wind being described, but it's the same word that's used to describe the spirit as well. It's the same word. Boys and girls, it's kind of like if we're talking about a bat that flies around, or a bat that we use to play baseball. Same word, but different meanings. And here, the wind that is coming is the same wind that is being used to describe the Spirit at work. When Jesus is having his conversation with Nicodemus, he uses this connection between Spirit and wind. by referring to the wind in order to explain how the Spirit works. So John 3 verse 8, the wind or the pneuma blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the pneuma, born of the Spirit. Now that connection between Spirit and wind isn't accidental. The Spirit of God is the breath of life, the wind of life. And we have this explained throughout Scripture. For example, go all the way back to Genesis as God is forming Adam out of the dust of the ground. What does he do? He breathes his breath, his wind, his Spirit into Adam, and Adam becomes a living being. The Ruach of God, the Spirit, the wind of life. Or you jump forward to Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones. Dry, dry bones, bleached white. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Preach to these bones, prophesy to these bones, and I will send my Spirit and bring them to life. I will make breath, ruach, Spirit, wind enter you, and you will come to life. And so we see that the Spirit, the wind of God, is bringing life to the lifeless. Resurrection, what is dead is brought to life. And it gives us a picture of what the Spirit has come to do as he applies all that Christ has accomplished. All that Christ has accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection. The sound they heard was the sound of wind, which pointed to the arrival of the Spirit of God who brings the dead to life. The breath of God that breathes new life. And you can see the parallels as well between God breathing his Spirit, his breath into Adam, and Adam having life in creation, and now at Pentecost, you have the new creation in Jesus Christ being brought to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus even said in John 20, verse 22, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That breath of new life, the wind, the Spirit of God. And what we have here in Acts is an account of the events that took place on that Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. But what's important for us to realize this morning is that when we look at the events of Pentecost, the wind and the flames of fire, it's not just telling us the facts about something that happened way back in the day. You have the facts, the Spirit came, but what is the significance? Because the impact, the significance of Pentecost is that you have been given the Spirit personally as well. I think so often our temptation is to think about the events of Scripture in almost a nostalgic sort of way. Oh, wouldn't it be great to be able to walk with Jesus? I caught myself thinking this way this past week. If I could take my cell phone back in time and record everything that Jesus said, get it word for word, wouldn't it be great if we had the Word of God? And you almost feel like the disciples had it even better than we do, because if we could only be with Jesus, or what if we could have been there that Pentecost morning, could have heard the wind and experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit being poured out. And I think what we overlook often is that we are part of this reality, part of this. This is our story. We are filled with the Holy Spirit because the Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. We have God's Word. He's at work within us. Jesus even said, "It's better that I go and send the Spirit, the Comforter, to you." And that's exactly what we see happening in our passage this morning. The tongues of fire separated. They come to rest on each one of them, symbolizing the presence of God, them being filled with the Holy Spirit. The significance of Pentecost is that you have personally been given the Holy Spirit. And it's not just about being given the Holy Spirit in and of itself or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, good, now I'm full. Because it's also about what the Spirit does. You've been filled with the Spirit. And because you personally have been given the Holy Spirit, you now share, are united with Christ. And that's our second point this morning, who makes me share in Christ. The Spirit is the one who connects us with Christ and all his blessings. Christ ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And the way that we are connected with Christ, the way that we commune with Christ, the way that all of his blessings are poured out onto us is through the power of the Holy Spirit. By true faith, we share in Christ and all his blessings. And this is because of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. In our passage, we see how not only was the wind there, the wind was heard, but they also saw something. They saw what appeared to be tongues of a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. These little tongues of fire, these little flames of fire, they announce the presence of God. Just like the pillar of fire over the tabernacle and the temple symbolized, announced God's presence with his people in the middle of the wilderness. Now when Christ is pouring out his Spirit, who is God, each believer is marked with a miniature pillar of fire. He is pouring out his Spirit. Each is given a miniature pillar of fire. Each is a temple of the Lord, as we hear Scripture explaining that. Instead of the tabernacle and the temple being the place of God's presence, now God's presence, the Holy Spirit, is in you. The giving of the Spirit is God giving of himself to believers. It is the fulfillment of his promises and an expression of his relationship. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, that your body is a temple of the Lord. And now we're seeing the significance with Pentecost of what that means. Here you have the tabernacle, temple, pillar of fire in the wilderness, God's presence. But now with Pentecost, that's been divided to each believer individually. Your body is a temple of the Lord. You are not your own. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. A temple of the Lord. The presence of the Holy Spirit in you. A dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit, Ephesians 2. And so it's not just about the events of Pentecost, these things that happened back in the day. It's not just the tongues of fire, but it's also the significance for each one of us that God is present with us. That the Spirit makes us share in Christ. And just to explain that a little bit further as we get ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper, I want to read a little bit from our form. Our Lord also promises that as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are fed with his crucified body and shed blood. To do this, he gives us his life-giving Spirit, through whom the body and blood of our Lord become the life-giving nourishment of our souls. Thus he unites us with himself and so imparts the precious benefits of his sacrifice to all who partake in faith. The Holy Spirit is the one connecting us with Christ and all the benefits that are ours in Christ. All of the salvation that Christ has accomplished is applied to us by the Holy Spirit. As a means of grace, the form goes on to say, this meal also unites us with one another in the bond of the Spirit. As the apostle says, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one loaf. Thus, even as he unites us with himself, he strengthens the bond of communion between us, his children. Do you see what the Spirit is doing here? So often it's the ordinary behind-the-scenes work that goes unnoticed. But the Spirit is taking what Christ accomplished, his life, his birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and he's applying it to you. By faith, Christ's death and resurrection is yours. His righteousness is yours. The Holy Spirit is working out your faith, strengthening your faith, growing your faith, producing that faith in your heart through the preaching of the gospel, so through the celebration of baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that day on Pentecost, 3,000 came to believe in the Lord. And just to put that in perspective, what the Holy Spirit accomplished on Pentecost, the number of people coming to faith is more than Christ accomplished throughout his entire life. Because that's what the Spirit does. Applying what Christ has accomplished. The Holy Spirit has been given to me personally. Makes me share in Christ. And a third and the final promise is remains with me forever. Remains with me forever. Most of us have heard that the Holy Spirit is described as the Comforter. John 14, verse 16 describes the Spirit as the Counselor or the Helper. The comfort of the Holy Spirit for us is that the Holy Spirit remains with us forever. But we can't confuse the comfort of the Holy Spirit with being comfortable. Like an eternal lazy boy recliner that you can snuggle into. As wonderful as that may be, that's not what the Spirit is doing as our comforter or bringing us comfort. It's not to keep us comfortable. It is our encourager. It is our helper, our mediator. Describing the Spirit as a helper or an enabler gets at the fact that this Spirit is helping us do something, equipping us to do something, encouraging, advising, counseling, equipping us for something. The presence of the Holy Spirit forever is not a stagnant promise that has to do with keeping you comfortable, but rather it's equipping you for the task at hand. And what is that task? What happened as soon as the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the disciples? They started to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. They started to say what Christ has done. Everyone thought they were drunk. No, it's only 9 in the morning. We're not drunk. Here's the message of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. That all who believe in the Lord will be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's fitting that the shape of these flames on top of the disciples' heads are described as tongues. Because that's exactly what they're doing. They're speaking in all of these different tongues, all of these different languages. Everyone's amazed that they're hearing the gospel message and they understand it. They're sharing what Christ has done. To be filled with the Spirit means telling what Christ has done. Not just the facts that they were filled with the Spirit and went away full, but rather it's also the result. They've been enabled, equipped to proclaim the good news of salvation, to speak as the Spirit enabled them to speak, to preach. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. They began to proclaim in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Boys and girls, as we wrap up this morning, I'm sure most of you remember the story of the Tower of Babel. What happened at the Tower of Babel? People wanted to build a tower that would reach up to God. They wanted to be like God or show their power. They were arrogant. They resisted God's will. They thought they could be God instead of obeying. And what did God do? He confused their languages. All of a sudden, they couldn't understand each other. If one guy needed bricks, he couldn't understand the guy who was making bricks. And so people ended up being scattered all over the world. But look at what's happening at Pentecost here. We have the undoing of the curse of Babel. Now, all of a sudden, all of these people from all these tribes and nations now understand. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven, and they're all hearing the gospel message in their own language. They're all understanding this message of salvation. All of the major divisions of this world, everything that separates is now being united in Jesus Christ. And what's the reason? What's the reason for undoing Babel, for everyone being able to understand each other's language? The reason is so that they can proclaim the good news of salvation in Christ. What is it that they're sharing? What is it that they're preaching? Verse 21, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They're sharing the gospel. The good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Not coming together to build a tower, but rather coming together to hear the gospel and to praise God for what He has accomplished in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. What's the result of the Spirit being poured out on Pentecost? Not just the event, not just the facts, but what it means for you this morning. What does Pentecost mean for you? It means that the Spirit has been given to you personally. The Holy Spirit makes you share in Christ and all His blessings as we're about to celebrate together. And that the Holy Spirit remains with you forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for pouring out Your Holy Spirit, for filling us with Your Spirit. And Lord, the ordinary work of Your Spirit often goes unnoticed because we're used to hearing the gospel proclaimed and celebrating the sacraments. But Lord, we know that You are at work through the power of Your Holy Spirit applying all of the blessings of salvation that Christ has accomplished for us. And it's our prayer this morning, Lord, that You will continue Your work, that You will continue to strengthen our faith, deepen our hope, and increase our love. Lord, bless us as we come to Your table this morning. Nourish us with Your word and Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.